Mini episode 754 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the FDH Lounge, breaking down the 2016 NFC West. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross. It's always a two-man show in the FDH Lounge when you're talking football. When you're talking analysts in this industry, it's two above all the rest, quite frankly. And just like the NFC West itself,
oh, you
right?
Stole it, you son of a bitch!
Really?
Yes. As soon as you said that first line, I was like, okay. And I'm going, and on that note, let's talk about how the NFC West is a two-horse race. I think that's kind of obvious.
Great minds think alike.
Yes.
Kind of making my point.
Yes. And when it comes to great minds,
yes,
in the NFC West,
yes,
you got to talk about Pete Carroll and Bruce Arians.
Certainly not the other two head coaches.
No.
Well, Chip Kelly as a coach only, maybe.
Okay.
Not Jeff Fisher.
We'll get to him later. But let's start at the top. People always like to talk about the best teams first.
Okay.
Seattle and Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I have to offer a mea culpa, a bit of an apology toward Mr. Bruce Arians.
Okay.
Who has been outperforming my expectation for his team every year as a head coach.
Okay.
Including the year he picked up as an interim in Indianapolis. Scary for the Cardinals this year, because I did this with the Colts. The Colts were a team, as you know, that I was never high on, even with Andrew Luck. I've never liked the rest of that roster. But last year, I kind of was like begrudgingly, all right, screw it. They're clearly the best team in this division.
That's right.
I'll go with them. They'll win the AFC because they'll be the top seed. This just did not win the AFC. They didn't even make the playoffs.
Right.
Luck got hurt. I'm on board Arizona this year, Ricky. And I think I don't have them winning the division, but I have them finishing with a strong 12-4 record as a wild card.
Well, and
am I giving in?
You are giving in, because I got them as a wild card, but I got them at 9-7. I got them emerging out of the grid. Chicago being another 9-7 team I have making the playoffs. Minnesota, a 9-7 team I have missing. I have Arizona coming that close, needing to win on tiebreakers to make it in. And I was explaining this to you off air as we were kind of talking about this a little bit. And my sense is, it's kind of a little bit the same as when I was looking at Atlanta, and when I said that there will be some things that kind of offset one another, and that's why I come out where I come out, that I think Atlanta will be a better team, but with the increased difficulty in competition this year, it's going to level everything out to 8-8 for them. I have Arizona at 9-7 because I see what you see. They're continuing to get better. They're continuing to add pieces. Still need Carson Palmer to remain healthy. Because
and that's a bit like, obviously, every team needs its starting quarterback. Because
yeah.
I was going to make that point, too.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, like, well, what team doesn't need its starting quarterback to stay healthy? I feel, though, that at his age,
yeah,
he's maybe a little more of an injury risk.
Well, and by the way, for anybody out there that doesn't know this, he's had an injury or two in the course of his career.
Well,
so
he has.
Yes, he has. So he has that history that he's been able to pretty much surmount fairly recently, but I see what you see. So as far as them being 12-4, yeah. But when you look at the fact that they have been defying the odds, Pythagorean style and otherwise, over the last couple of years, that's where I look at it and say they are due. I keep coming back to this, and a lot of things that I do, law of averages, student of the odds, call it what you will. I think they're going to get a lot of bad breaks this year because I think they have.
Well, they were 6-1 in close games last year. You would figure that to regress.
They've been able to consolidate. They've been able to build an excellent program there the last couple of years.
I don't like
with
my
a 12. Lot of with
I
a lot
don't
of
like my 12-win pick
with
anymore.
A lot of good luck, and that's the well, and that's but see, I expected you. I thought you were going to mock my pick because I'm not picking them to miss them. I'm going for the middle ground, Kyle Ross.
I think
Ross.
You're low, and I think I'm too high.
Could be.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Although, I'll be – I'm
you're
really
right.
starting
they could
to
be
think
10,
that I'm too high.
They could be 10-5-1 and split us right
I think
in the
they're just talented enough that the regression won't be too much. But there's going to be, God, 6-1 in close games, and Arians got such a ridiculous record in close games.
Regression and also luck. Again, there's a lot of luck that goes into just thrashing the Pythagorean record and expectations the last couple of years as they've done.
Well, I will say this, though. Last year was not a case of them far exceeding what the Pythagorean expectation said. I mean, they were the second Pythagorean expectation at 12.1. They won 13. That was the closest the gap has been, I believe, under Arians.
Well, that's right. That's right. So I'm expecting more of these things to go against them, more injuries that may go against them. By the way, too, and I'll tell you what.
Actually, that's incorrect. Okay. In 2013, they won 10 games. They were expected to win 9.5. That's Pythagorean win expectation. 2014 was the big difference, which is why I picked them. Remember, you were the one who had them winning the NFC last year. I was the one who had them going 6-10 or something, because in 2014 they were coming off an 11-5 year, but their Pythagorean win expectation was only 8.3.
Yeah.
So they were a big overachiever. Last year they were not a real overachiever.
My rationale in picking them to win the NFC last year was exactly this, that I had a very, very, very strong feeling in looking at it that it wasn't going to be Seattle and Green Bay. I thought we were going to have, if not a disruption in the force, an interruption in it. And Arizona was literally the only team in the conference I could make a case for. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I could have made a case for Carolina. Of course not. Really, nobody saw that coming as far as them going 15-1. Arizona just, to me, looked like a logical alternative. If I'm going to rule out Green Bay and Seattle, I'm going to go with Arizona. That's what I was looking at then. This year, again, whether it be luck, and that could come in the form of getting worse injuries than they've had, record in close games, whatever. I see them regressing in terms of record, still being an excellent team, still easily one of the top teams in the NFC, and therefore a wild card team. I will tell you this, by the way, and this is something that kind of surprises me from a fantasy perspective, and something I've kind of marveled at in the last couple of years, is that we have, and this is not a good or a bad thing necessarily, because sometimes people cottoning to somebody a little bit quicker sometimes it's a good thing, because it just means that they're not requiring as much body of evidence work and they're not biased in that way. David Johnson's a guy I hear people talking about him taking him number one overall this year. There are publications out there, number one player in fantasy football, David Johnson. And I see it.
No offense to your industry. I'm sort of cooling on fantasy football.
Okay. I have him as a high first-round pick. Don't get me wrong.
Because I don't like these guys, because, you know, it's just insane to me that we're in that world. Like, I feel that maybe I've let fantasy football pass me by.
Does it seem insane that people could be saying that?
Yes.
Because here's the thing. Bruce Arians, you talk about lucky, right? Bruce Arians, he's been so lucky that he hasn't even had to suffer.
I got a stat for you.
Well, I'm going to give you something a little more mundane. He hasn't had to suffer the consequences of bad decisions he's made. Bruce Arians decided at the start of last year that a hit-the-wall Chris Johnson had more life to offer them in the backfield than David Johnson, who a lot of us looked at in the preseason and saw as a big sleeper. And, hey, what about David Johnson already? Down the stretch from Thanksgiving on, you saw what David Johnson could do, and that's where I get. People are extrapolating it. I'm just saying, people wouldn't take that level of body of work and say that the guy could be the number one player the next year. I don't rule out that he could be. To me, it's more just a commentary on where the industry's gotten to on that. And I clearly think David Johnson's one of the best bets in fantasy football this year. So to whatever extent, I'm part of the hype.
Let's go over some numbers, okay?
Yeah.
Since 2012, this includes his interim year in Indianapolis, when Bruce Arians has a lead of 8 points or less in the fourth quarter, he is 31-1 straight up. That is a win percentage of .969. You may be saying to yourself, oh, he's just holding on to a fourth quarter lead. How hard is that? The league average in that situation, just 66.1%.
Okay.
And Pete Carroll, main rival, this just in, coach of the Seahawks, only 23-15 in that situation. We've seen in the past, Seattle's let some of those leads slip away.
Yeah.
Arizona does not do this. Here's something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is what scares me about Arizona. Why is their win total only 9.5?
That seems remarkable.
And there is heavy juice on the over.
Okay.
I'm scared about buying into this program. They're the wild card, right?
Yeah, you got.
All right, so we've both got them as a wild card.
Wild card.
I'm a little scared.
For as much as I've trolled you with the whole winning as a skill thing, maybe it is for Bruce Arians. Maybe it is, Kyle.
Why in the world is their win total only 9.5? Who isn't picking this as one of the best teams in the league this year? I feel like everyone's on board. But this is the first year. That's a scary place to be. This is absolutely from a narrative. You know, I hate narratives, but from a narrative perspective, the story with Arizona is this is the first year everyone's on board. Right?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're the guy saying that the second Nirvana album can't miss. That's basically you. Well, you know, after a team has gotten to that point, like, hey, now.
You ever heard In Utero? Not much of a slip. Frances Farmer will have her revenge on Seattle. That song rocks.
I'm not a huge Nirvana guy anyways.
Well, that's your first mistake.
Well,
you did tell me once in a podcast that you liked nu metal, so I don't know.
I love nu metal. And to me, I would say by a wide margin, Foo Fighters greater than Nirvana.
That's incorrect.
I'm surprised at the number of people who agree with me on that.
Well,
hipsters like you have tried to intimidate people into liking Nirvana all these years. I'm surprised that your hipsterism is less effective. My alternative voice in the culture is apparently getting more prominent.
I feel that, you know, people of my ilk music, we just kind of conglomerated in our own little area. We've given up on the unwashed masses. You know, if you don't want to fucking like Nirvana, go fuck yourself.
That's always a good way
to go.
By
the way, I really like the Foo Fighters, just so we're clear.
Okay.
I really like them. I've seen them multiple times in concert.
Well, proving that I can segue anything. We're talking about Pacific Northwest
bands. I'll tell you what. Yes, cue the NBC music guy every time the Seahawks play. Oh, when he pulls out his Even Flow and Smells Like Teen Spirit playlist. Yes.
Yeah, maybe that's what made me think of the segue. But, yeah, I got Seattle winning the division.
I really like Seattle this year a lot.
I got them at 11-5. Having said that, again,
I have them 12-4, and I think that it could be 13-3.
I mean, it could be. It could be.
Is this your best team in the league? Or no, you have Green Bay back.
I got Green Bay at 12-4. Oh, wow. I have them as the two teams getting the first-round byes in the NFC. Do you agree with me that regardless of what happens here, that we're going to look back at the next – I mean, 2013 is and always will be peak Seahawks, right? I mean, it doesn't mean that they're going to become just another Joe, but –
they were really, really good. And people, you know, when you and I, leading up to that Super Bowl against Denver, were just like all over the Seahawks, it was because, again, playing theirs, I don't think people understood how great that team was.
Here's one of the things, is that
they're still really good, though.
The way that football is, and football's the game of the masses, and it's the one that gets glommed on by the media, but that makes it easier, particularly for vast majority of any, you know, mouth breather fans out there to just sort of absorb narratives. I feel like it's so much easier, probably 100% because of the quarterback position and what we attach to it. Historically great offenses like the 2007 Patriots, the 2013 Broncos, it's so much easier for people to understand that.
Yes.
Than the defenses.
Yes.
You and I said the Seahawks, they're on the short list of greatest defenses ever, the 13 Seahawks, and they proved it in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then look at last year.
Yeah.
With the Broncos against the Panthers. It was
right.
The same narrative playing
right
out.
Because you know, Denver, in the span of two short years, had reversed themselves and become
look at Denver. Well, which side of the coin do you want to be on, folks? You got to have a great defense.
You do. But it's a thing where I look at this, and again, I mean, it would be strong to say that the last 2 years have been the fumes of the 2013 Seahawks, but they haven't been back at that level. The 2013 Seahawks never would have seen a team like Carolina come into their building and slap them in the face the way they did in the fourth quarter last year. So, I mean, I think they're going to be somewhat back in the direction of the 13 Seahawks.
They underachieved last year.
Yeah.
This team, they only won 10 games, but they had a Pythagorean win expectation of 11.8.
But you seem to think that the pendulum is maybe going to swing back towards 2013 a little more than I do. I look at the continuing...
Spoiler alert, I think the result's going to be the same.
Very interesting. Well, and you and I clearly see the same two teams, at the very least, in the NFC Championship game. Do you have Seattle? You have them with home field throughout,
yes.
Then, yes? All right.
Yeah, I have them as the best. I have them at 12-4, the same record as Arizona. I already want to change it. You know me. I like to change everything.
Home field is destiny. We always kind of talk about that. The one thing I will say is this, and particularly with some of the, and again, not monstrous losses that they've suffered defensively, but you'll agree with me. A Bruce Irvin is not nothing.
Absolutely. There's been, and then the offensive line's always a question mark. The team, Russell Wilson has bailed that dumpster fire out many a time.
And that's the whole thing here, too, that with different teams, we talk about, with Arizona, it was the offset, in my case, in looking at it, of I think that they're due for things to get worse and harder for them at a time when they are legitimately better than they were at least 2 years ago. For Seattle, the offset is the defense is, again, continuing to lose a few pieces here and there, the offensive line, whatever. But the growth and the emergence of Russell Wilson and somebody who, I'll tell you what, too, I am, and this is from a fantasy perspective as well as otherwise, because I have the guy as an undervalued player this year. I don't know why everybody on God's green earth is assuming that what Doug Baldwin did was a fluke. I mean, it may be, but everybody seems so damn certain of that. I am, as a fantasy tout, I am wary of certainty. I'm wary. Of course it was a fluke. Well, it may well have been. But stretching together several games like that, the guy may have just discovered a gear that nobody even knew that he had. You can't rule that out.
Yeah, and he's on a good team. I mean, that's the thing. You can't, you know, I mean, you can't. Playing on a good team tends to do wonders for you.
And here's the thing, too.
If I can belabor the obvious point.
You're right about that. And to a certain extent with being on a good team. And then, you're going to tell me this is a dangerous point to make, a dangerous question to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
Okay.
Can Jimmy Graham possibly have a second consecutive season that far below his standards?
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, they got nothing from him.
Yeah.
And they lost an offensive lineman in the center in the process.
Yeah. And that was – I think – I remember when we were talking about that trade, I think we said, like, yeah, that's not nothing to – was it Max Unger? It's like, that's not nothing to lose him. It's great to get Jimmy Graham. Boy, last year the loss of Unger was far more than the gain of Graham. Okay. That won't be the case 2 years in a row. It can't be.
No. Okay, here's – and it's funny because I've got them with the same regular season record, and I'm already hating that right now. And you've got Seattle significantly better. Well, yeah. Two games better. Arizona definitely is not matching last year's 13-3 record. We both agree on that.
Yes.
Seattle's definitely improving from 10-6, right?
Yeah.
Well, Vegas only has the win total of 10.5. I say you got to bet the over there. I don't see any way they don't win more games than they did last year. They lost a lot of games at the end. I don't see that happening.
I think you're right about that, albeit with me having picked them at 11 wins, I'd be going with the over in a queasy kind of fashion.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be – I mean, obviously, betting over 10.5 is tough. But I have them winning 12, maybe 13.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't be shocked if it came to that. But it's a thing where –
and if they get home field, you know, book it, Dano.
Well, I think what it comes down to in their case is it may be a matter of the weakness of the teams that are in front of them. Some years, teams tower over everybody else because they're that much better than everybody else. Some years, it's just a matter of who they got in front of them, what it looks like. The NFC this year, to me, is not brimming with Super Bowl contenders.
I mean, the whole league is. There's not a lot of dominant teams right now in this league.
No, and that's just by Seattle remaining on that level. It may have a certain amount
What's funny is I think the NFC is tougher at the top than the AFC is.
I would kind of agree. There's less question marks about the top teams there. But as far as question marks go, I'm going to put one to you.
Okay.
We have talked about the two far and above teams in this division, the Morris and Ross teams, if you will. I don't know what broadcasters we would attach to the California teams here, but what order do you want to go in, L.A. or San Francisco?
L.A.
All right. The newly formed L.A. Rams. By the way, I have to tell you, moments in life that make you feel old. I saw something on Twitter the night that it became official that the Rams were going back to L.A. And that's right for those of you young people out there, back to L.A. I saw some 20-something on Twitter like, the Los Angeles Rams, that doesn't even sound right coming off your tongue. I'm just going, oh, my God, I'm too old. Get me off this earth. I'm sharing a planet with people who don't know that there was an L.A. Rams before.
Well, people are young. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I worked, my boss's son, I don't know if I've ever told this story, but whatever, if I have, screw me then, I guess. You know me, I don't remember anything. We were watching the Tampa Bay Bucks warm up one time on, like, ESPN. Mm-hmm. And they had their old creamsicle uniforms on.
Okay.
And he looks at it, and he's, like, 10 years younger than we are, or I am. And he's like, oh, those jerseys are crazy, man. And I'm like, oh, don't you remember that? They wore those all in the 80s. He's like, dude, I was born in 1989. Might explain why you don't remember them. I do remember the L.A. Rams, and I remember that they were a very good team. I remember the Henry Ellard Flipper Anderson years.
Yeah.
This will not be one of those teams. This is a very bad football team, I think. I think this is one of the worst teams in the league, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a natural regression because, again, new home stadium, teams slip. In terms of yards per game differential last year, 31st. More on the 32nd team in a moment. They were outgained on average by 70 yards a game. That's a lot.
Well, you know, you talk about Flipper also when you're talking about the heritage of the Los Angeles Rams. Let's not forget Jim Everett flipping Jim Rome over a table back in the day. That happened as well. And, again, playing in the decrepit Coliseum, I have no idea on what business level or whatever they judge the L.A. Coliseum from being in South Central or wherever they call it now for all of that, that is preferable to using the Rose Bowl. There's just something I'm not getting here. Yeah. There's something
I'm not
seeing.
Not getting?
What?
A over-under win total of 7.5.
I got him at 6, although I'm kind of second-guessing myself. It seems
I see it 4 or 5.
I mean,
this is a bad football team. They mortgaged a lot of capital to move up and get Goff.
I'm a Jared Goff guy, though, so that I think
I'm not huge on him.
He doesn't have a lot to work with, though.
Yeah, he can hand the ball off to Todd Gurley.
And which
they have Aaron Donald on the other side. Well, there's some good pieces here, but you know who is not a good piece?
Who?
Your boy Jeff Fisher.
Not my boy. Albeit, I guess
the king of the 7-9 season.
There's a lot of people out there that could be classified as. Generally, when you classify somebody as a friend of a friend, it means that you know them. There's a lot of people that are friends of friends that I don't know personally, but they're friends of a friend of mine. My good friend Joe Lindway, with all due respect, who is a friend of Jeff Fisher's. I always hammer him on Facebook about how awful Jeff Fisher is. I mean, and he had a comment one time about he could be a top three coach in the league. And I said to him, I don't think he's a top three coach in his own division. And at this point, he's 4th out of 4 because Chip Kelly, at this point, I would certainly take above him.
I don't have the number. I saw a stat somewhere, and I don't have it in front of me, about coaches who have kept their job as long as Fisher without a winning season.
Mm-hmm.
Tends not to end well the next year.
Yeah, he's
and that's the thing too. I think he's the pressure's on him to produce this year with the move
in a new market.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Jeff Fisher's last year with his team.
I mean that presumes. I mean,
if you think they're going to be 6-10 or something, they probably will.
They've tolerated crap from him before. I don't know. I mean, you know, being in a part of it is too. It's likely to be a lasting honeymoon in the new market. That's what happens when the NFL is dumb enough to stay away for 20 years. Dude, there's a lot of pent-up demand.
If they win 6 or fewer games like we think they're going to, he's going to get fired.
Yeah, but Jeff Fisher and the organization is going to point to the excuse, well, we're in the same division with Seattle and Arizona. What do you want?
Well, I think people are going to – I think that can only last so long.
Listen, I think,
look, they used to be in a division with Seattle and San Francisco. Well, what's the common theme? The Rams are the bad team.
I think the Rams fans deserve better. I'm just pessimistic from their point of view that they're going to get it. I'm a Jared Goff guy. When you were talking about guys who just, you know, somebody who's not good, when you said Jeff Fisher, I will tell you, and some a-hole in my football keeper league recently tried to sell me on taking Tavon Austin off his hands, who I have never liked as
an
NFL
you haven't.
Player.
You've always ripped him.
He's a pure gadget guy. I don't get the fascination with gadget guys from a fantasy perspective. But anyways, it just shows. Goff needs weapons still. I'm optimistic near-term on the guy that I think, you know, if we're going to go fantasy-wise again, who I think is the number one guy right now at the running back position, Todd Gurley, who goes to playing, again, for whatever qualms I have about the L.A. Coliseum from an aesthetic point of view, from a cars on fire outside the stadium point of view, from all those things, it is a grass field as opposed to that awful painted concrete that he was on in St. Louis.
Oh!
Going to be a lot friendlier to him there. Something that... Your pal Chief Checkdown was happy to leave behind when he got out of St. Louis by other means. So that's nice.
It's never an NFL for you without a Chief Checkdown reference.
That's right. That's right. Even if I think it's unfair. Yes. But I
are you saying that you have some reservations about Sam Bradford?
I do. I absolutely do. Well played. But defensively, they
that
got
was a Rick Martel joke, by
thank
the way, from 1992.
That was outstanding. They got some studs on the defensive side of the ball as well, albeit letting Little Animal go for whatever reason. I don't know. That doesn't seem like a good move, but I'll say 6-10. I'll stick with it.
5-11.
That leads us to the team in NoCal. And to I also have it 6-10 for whatever reason. As I said,
oh my God Almighty,
quasi facetiously.
This might be, you know, we have not had big differences this year.
We haven't.
This is going to be one of our biggest ones, even though we both have them as a last place team.
Again, I think, look, this is a team that is not, and again, they've had a lot of turnover, retirements, what have you, but I think when you're looking at the ability of Chip Kelly to get the most out of this roster v. Jim Tomsula. Again, could this be the better late than never breakout year for Torrey Smith?
I think that he's just inheriting a mess.
Could be.
I think he's inheriting a mess. I don't think if this team's as bad as I think they're going to be, and I think they're going to be the worst team in the league, I don't think that's necessarily, again, Chip
worse
Kelly.
Worse than the Browns?
Yes, yes. Wow. I have this as a 2 or 3 win football team.
My
they
goodness.
Were so bad last year. The fact they won, they were actually lucky to win 5 games. It's rare you can say that.
Mm-hmm.
They were outscored by 149 points last year.
Well, they should have had to give back that crap week 1 win that you picked them for. That they did win, by the way.
That was a great. That
technically, they
yes,
won that
Jim
game.
Yes, Jim Tomsula was the winningest coach in 49ers history at that point.
I remember that graphic.
Pythagorean win expectation was 3.8 last year.
Oof.
That was, I believe, lowest in the league.
Okay.
I believe lowest. Yes, it was. This was a bad. I thought that this was maybe the worst team in the league last year, and they actually got the 5 wins. I think they got to pay the piper.
One thing that I'm going to say, though.
Worst in yards per game differential. Outgained Rick Morris last year by 83.6 yards per game.
Tiny, tiny, tiny bit of devil's advocate here. Fourth in the league in the FDH strength of schedule rankings. Fourth hardest schedule.
Last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Football Outsiders had him at second.
Okay.
Football Outsiders has him this year.
Now, granted.
First.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they have 4 games against Seattle and Arizona.
Yeah.
Them and the Rams are the only teams in the league. This just in. I don't know if you know how the league works, but you play everyone in your division twice.
Yeah.
So them and the Rams are the only
every
teams.
Year.
In the yes, every,
okay, every
yes,
year.
Every year.
Okay.
Yes, every year. Yes.
Ah,
and
okay.
There's 4 teams in a division, and they're called rivals.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah.
How many divisions?
8.
Okay.
Don't ask this to Ryan Tannehill. He may struggle. But, no, the Rams and Niners, that's what really kills them is the 4 games
right.
against the Seahawks and Cards.
Yeah, but the non-divisional games,
I
obviously.
I like Football Outsiders. The offense may still stink, but watch how fast they hike the ball. Last and often, it's not good when you're last in the league in points per game. This just in, I don't know if you've watched the NFL in the last couple of years. I hope you have because we
bit.
Do a weekly show. A
little bit.
You'd need to have a good offense.
Well,
I think Chip Kelly's going to screw around with a quarterback situation. This is a situation where if I'm him, I may be tanked to get Deshaun Watson.
I would not want to see that just because I want to see him with the Browns next year.
I have the Niners having the first overall pick, so I got news for you.
That would be unfortunate. But, well, I will say this, though. I mean, again, I talk.
Number of games that San Francisco scored at least 20 points last year. Guess. They scored at least 20.
2 games?
Wow, that'd be horrible. It was 4.
Okay.
And they scored 20 once, the aforementioned win over the Vikings.
Let me pull that club out of my bag that I go to.
Of course,
to.
They actually lost one of them to the Giants, of course.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. Let me pull that club out of my bag that I so frequently do. The one
Ooh.
Of, you know, it's due, law of averages, shouldn't it have happened already? The one thing that I'm going to say, devil's advocate to all of this, we are still waiting on what I think is reasonable to wait on, and that is the Carlos Hyde breakthrough. So, thoughts?
You love Ohio State. I don't take anything you say about Ohio State people seriously.
He's a tremendous young running back.
Unfortunately, when their quarterback is either Colin Kaepernick or Blaine Gabbert, he will be facing what they call 8 in the box.
Are you saying that he'd be doing better off with Colin Cowherd at quarterback?
I don't know about that.
If you
you seen that show, Colin Coward and Jason Whitlock?
It is awful. That
is a really bad show.
By the way,
you're going to be really pleased about this. I remember when we first started doing these shows together, I was still like kind of like in the mindset of, oh, these shows work. You know, you don't understand TV, and they do work. Like, I mean, that's like, but God, do I have no use for them anymore.
Oh, they're
really, I feel like everyone phones it in.
It's hideous.
Yeah, they're really, they're really bad.
Give that time slot to Katie Nolan. She'll do something more entertaining than they would.
Hell, I can think of a few things.
Well, get your mind out of the gutter. But, but yes, that too.
Yes.
Oh, my. I don't know how we recover from that. But,
I did ask my wife once if she could come home for a sleepover.
How's this for a segue? Probably not a lot of Katie Nolan fans in the San Francisco fan base.
No. Yeah. Oh, that's an outdated and hideous joke. That's horrible.
Still funny, though.
Hey, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
A great city, San Francisco. It's on my list to visit. I've always been wanting to visit San Francisco very, very badly.
I have no desire to
go watch a football game. But then again, I don't want to watch any NFL games live.
The only reason that I like ever would want to go to San Francisco, I don't know what you call it now, if it's been Pac Bell, ATT, whatever, the ballpark. I want to go watch a game.
The Giants
ballpark.
Game, yes. Oh, I would always want to visit every city I visit, I would always want to see a baseball game.
That's
never
on
NFL
my short
game.
List that I haven't been to. I haven't been to Minute Maid. Minute Maid looks like it would be very cool to watch a game at in Houston. So
I have a buddy who really likes that. He travels to Houston a lot. He swears by it.
That's I would like to do that. But as far as the football team goes, I segue it to say that while it may be a great autumn for the San Francisco Giants, it may not be as great of an autumn/winter for the 49ers. Am I going out on a big limb by saying that?
No.
Okay.
Although the Giants are struggling, man, right now.
They are.
They're struggling, but I think they can right that ship.
They
win the wild card game. I don't have them going to the NLCS.
Well, that would be good. That would make them less likely to potentially face the Indians coming out of the American League, so that would be, although again, it's an even numbered year, so it's got to be the Giants, I suppose. If you go by science,
sounds like an old wives' tale to me.
Hard science, basically. So, we pretty much agree on the shape and form of this division. So we've got as the NFC divisional winners. I've got Dallas. You've got the Giants in the East. We've both got Green Bay in the North. We've both got Carolina in the South. We've both got Seattle in the West.
Oh, very. Talk about not embracing debate. Jeez.
Yes. Yes. Well, wild card. We've both got Arizona in the West.
Yep.
So we differ on, two teams here?
One team.
Or one team. Okay, yeah, because I have...
Chicago is the wild card.
Chicago, and you have it being the Giants.
I have the Giants winning the division.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Giants winning the division. Dallas is my wild card.
So
we've got one difference.
All right. So, but here's the funny thing. You've got Seattle as the one seed. I've got Green Bay as the one seed. And that kind of tends to be destiny because here's how I got the playoffs playing out. In the wild card round, Carolina over Chicago, Arizona over Dallas. In the divisional round playoffs, Green Bay over Arizona, Seattle getting their revenge over Carolina from a year ago. Championship Sunday, Green Bay over Seattle. Now, I think I had said the AFC ones last time when we did the AFC West. I'll just recount this very quickly. I have in the AFC Cincinnati over Jacksonville in the first round, Indianapolis over Kansas City in the second round.
In the first round.
In the divisional round, New England over Indianapolis, Oakland over Cincinnati. Yes, I've got Oakland going to Championship Sunday.
That's an awful
New England
pick.
Over Oakland.
That's your bad pick this year.
Green Bay over Seattle. In the Super Bowl 51, it will be, ladies and gentlemen, the Green Bay Packers over the New England Patriots. You heard it here first.
My NFC Championship game, Seattle over Green Bay.
So you've got it reversed, okay.
And then I have them having revenge.
Okay.
For one of your least favorite Super Bowls ever.
Okay.
I believe it was Super Bowl 40, was it not?
Yes. Yes. The game
Super
that was
Bowl
fixed
XL.
For Pittsburgh.
No, it was not fixed.
With the bad calls. You've seen the YouTube videos, haven't you?
Sometimes refs have a bad day. But I indeed have Seattle beating Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl.
You got
this year.
Pittsburgh going to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Wow.
A great city and a great organization.
Ugh. You're nauseating me. I don't even know what I'm making the play. I got them,
that's really
I got them 9-7. I mean, I got it where they could make it, but I got them just.
Yeah, I don't know how you have both Jacksonville and Indy making the playoffs. I don't. That's wrong. Well, so, wow, it's funny. The AFC, we were actually more different than I thought.
Yeah.
Well, I have San Diego winning that.
Like, you. don't you have to take Indy in the AFC? I mean,
that's the division I struggle with the most. I've actually really been waffling. I told you I had Houston winning it at 8-8.
Okay.
I don't like the Colts at all.
Okay. You may well be right. And we've both ripped on the GM a lot. He's been pretty awful.
Grinson, yes.
Yes, they may subsequently bear the fruits of that. And if they don't make the playoffs this year, that will be a sign of it. So, all right, so I'm saying Green Bay over New England, which that's a Super Bowl that we've never seen, albeit these are teams that are always...
Yeah, we've seen it once. The Parcells year with New England.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
With the great Desmond Howard.
Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking in recent years we have it because there's been all these near misses. No, you're right. You're right. The one where, Belichick was still the defensive coordinator there for them. And the one where that just blithering idiot Desmond Howard got to be the MVP.
What a great performance by him.
A guy who, you know, how Ohio State, how somebody didn't just go for his knees on the next play after that obnoxious Heisman pose. You know, it's not an old school world anymore, ladies and gentlemen, when you're allowed to walk around without a cane after you pull a stunt like that. That's all I got to say.
I love how you're lamenting how it's not an old school world about something that happened in 1981. What's next? Yeah, you know what? You know what this world needs a little bit less of, folks, is that political correctness. If we got rid of political correctness, you know, our debt would go down and stuff, you know.
Again, what's the end game on that? Exactly. So I don't know how politically correct it is to say it, but Green Bay over New England is my pick.
That's pretty PC.
Is that pretty PC?
Yeah, I think Seattle over Pittsburgh is pretty PC, too.
Yeah, it probably is, but that's what we're predicting for this year. Just from the football guide for this year, Fantasy Football Draftology 2016, a few bonuses that I'll throw out there. Super Bowl MVP, Aaron Rodgers. NFL MVP, Aaron Rodgers. Coach of the Year, Mike McCarthy. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Ezekiel Elliott. Defensive Rookie of the Year, this is looking a little shaky right now, in as much as his team is freezing him out. I was going to say Joey Bosa. Well, no, because you and I are both, you're forecasting a lot bigger of an improvement for San Diego.
A huge improvement. They're my most improved team in the league. I don't care about Joey Bosa.
How do they improve to the extent you think they're going to improve without that guy having double-digit sacks?
Like that pick.
You don't even like that pick?
No. Well, I don't like Joey Bosa.
As a draft pick, that's not the direction I would have gone in. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
That's not the direction I would have gone in. But I felt like he fills a hole for them.
He had addressed a need, sure. But I just think that so many other things go their way. They have a lot of they were an unlucky team last year.
Well, he's lucky in that, you know, edge rushing pass, defense guy, you know, that's not a position you necessarily need to be in there for all a training camp for. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. So those are some of my bonus picks. Any closing thoughts on our NFL preview for this year in 8 parts, Kyle Ross?
No, I think I'm feeling pretty confident about my picks. The only thing is I'm glad you picked Chicago, like I said, because I think if I'm wrong with one of my NFC picks, it's going to be because Chicago gets in there.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to a year, looking forward to another week-by-week picks. I've already got my week one selection circled. I'm done with that, man.
You're ahead of me. I have yet to
Got 5 of them.
Ooh.
Good anti-public picks.
I have yet to even really glance at any of the lines yet. I will be doing that.
Good anti-public picks this
year. We'll see how it goes. That is something definitely to look forward to, ladies and gentlemen. We take a lot of pride in that with the show for all the great things that happen. Mm-hmm. Me and Kyle Ross, week-by-week NFL stuff, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than that.
We both do very well.
And we both do, yeah.
We hit over that Mendoza line. Now, I cheat and don't pick all the games, but, that's my gimmick.
Well, you are a football tout. That's what you're supposed to do. You cherry pick the games for people to bet on. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I just do the whole thing of every game. I'm just basically the stunt monkey doing that. It just so happens.
And you get really mad when there's not a line out when we do the games.
I do. And at times when I have to invent one, more or less, I will. But
it's very interesting.
I just barely cleared the 52.4% on all the games
last year. That was very impressive. Off to you.
Thank you. That is
Richard. That's V. Morris.
That is not easy to do. I mean, I don't want to break my arm patting myself on the back, but I will. But that's pretty much unheard of. Mm-hmm. Can I repeat? The odds are strongly against it, but I will certainly try. So we got that going. Look forward to that here this autumn, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be breaking it all down for you. NFL week by week, as always, in the FDH Lounge, Kyle Ross and Rick Morris.
we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.